The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening. Do gamers even like to game?
I know I don't. I'm Stevie.
And I'm Victoria.
And this is our podcast, Gaming Sucks, where we talk about how gaming sucks.
But not always. Sometimes it isn't too bad.
Only when it's developed by a small studio. I have some conflicting opinions. Victoria and I have conflicting opinions.
I have very conflicting opinions.
So let's just straight up get into it with first some definitions. Indie games are, for those of you who don't know, who might be listening to this, they're games made by like a small team, not a massive studio. And they're usually like, low budget, okay? Mm-hmm. And then AAA games have, like, the brand, reputation. They have, like, lots of money. And there are some studios that are, like, officially recognized as AAA. And then there are studios that aren't recognized as AAA but are still, like, massive giants. And we might accidentally lump them into AAA, but don't be fooled.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference between a AAA game and an indie game, from my knowledge, is AAA games are behind a very large publishing company.
Yes. And indie Sorry, games... I should have mentioned that.
No, you're totally fine. I think that's something we overlook because people think, oh, bigger budget or bigger production team.
Well, budget is definite. Budget and team are definitely major things. One other thing against AAA games is corporateness.
I know. I'm like such a corporate girly, though, I feel like.
I know.
Does that sound bad? I don't know. I use the example of, like, Piltover and Zahn. I don't root for underdogs. I'm always like, oh my god, is that controversial? I don't root
for
underdogs.
That is controversial.
I'm always like, I support the winning teams.
Okay.
I know, that's like, I don't know if that's like, needs to be analyzed or something. Or studied. But Okay, hear me out.
Okay.
In my experience with, like, the places I've worked and the people I've worked with, this is not entirely related to corporate and indie games, but I have to say working in corporate, there's a lot stronger structure. And I like things with more foundation, things that are more well-established because I can trust it.
Yeah. You're not like a monster who's like, Zahn should die.
No. That's not what I'm implying at all. No, what I'm
Can
trying
you tell to- we're into Arcane? Can you tell?
I love League of Legends. Anyways, like...
Sorry.
I just like things that are more established because I feel like there's more trustworthiness to an extent, obviously.
I understand that, but also then, like, how do new companies get established if we don't put our faith in them?
I know, that's the thing. I'm not saying I don't trust indie games, I don't like indie games, not true at all. It's just when it comes to my preference in the games I like to play, I just lean more into AAA, or you can just call me basic, but it's basic for a reason.
I'm not gonna call you basic. I will, this is not related to gaming. I have to go off on a quick tangent because of my own experience. I worked at this, I'm not going to give too many identifying details, but let's just call it a small business.
Okay.
A relatively small business. I worked at this relatively small business for like a bit, not too long. And they were very, very disorganized. So I was like a supervisor there. And I did not have any supervision abilities. My role was called supervisor, but I wasn't really supervising anything. And also people, the thing is, when you bring in a new hire to be a supervisor, people will have feelings about that.
Yeah, and I think those are valid feelings.
And those are valid feelings. And people would say that to my face. And also,
that's rude.
And it was a bit rude, but I can definitely understand that I was also younger than some of them. And so I totally understand how frustrating that is.
Nervous laughter.
It was very interesting because I was learning. I was new to the whole thing. And my, like, quote unquote, you know, underlings or people I was supposed to be managing were teaching me. And so it didn't build, like, a great foundation. And then I was not given proper guidance from my manager or the owner. So Not great. And they owed my manager a lot of money. Like, they just didn't pay her for some tips she earned or some hours she did. And I think they owed her, like, $5,000. So.
Period.
I have a lot of reasons to dislike less structured organizations. It is also super frustrating to work in one. Like, I totally get that. When there's no cohesive structure and, like, people are expected to take on more than... more than they're supposed to.
Yeah.
It's a recipe for disaster, frankly.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like, not saying that in the corporate world things are organized, because I know as well that they're not.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's where I'm going back to, like, in... I just feel like when... I'm going to pull up Riot Games again as an example, right? I feel like they have built such a strong reputation as... I don't know. Are they considered AAA? They are AAA.
They aren't considered AAA, but I feel like they should be.
They should be. I'm going to put it as they are, because they're definitely not an indie corporation.
They're not an indie corporation, but I, like, recently looked up, like, a list of AAA games, and they weren't, or not AAA games, AAA studios, and they weren't on it, but they should be. Or is there, like, I don't know.
Is there some, like, checklist they have to fit?
Is there, like, a specific checklist? Because I feel like they should be AAA or something above that. Like, I don't know. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah, so, like, when it comes to me, I'm very picky with what I like to play, just not only for video games.
You play League of Legends.
I know. I have a very specific taste in my video games.
So, a bad one. I'm just kidding.
A questionable one. Let's put it like that.
I do actually love League of Legends, like, gameplay-wise. I just think a lot of the times the player base can be very mean, and I am
forgetting
very sensitive.
About the player base, I'm just talking about, like, the quality of the actual game.
Outstanding.
You know what to expect going into it. You know there's a lot of people who will enjoy the game to an extent, okay? But I like the feeling of knowing what I'm getting into. Mm-hmm. And in terms of indie games, I'm not saying they're bad. Mm-hmm. I've just played less of those, and I tend to be more picky with them because there's so many out there.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And they come in different levels of quality, different levels of production.
But that's just, I don't feel like it's specific to indie games. That's just, you know.
In general, like in general, music, films.
Some things are just going to suck.
Yeah.
You know, like gaming sucks. Whoa.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe this is also coming from, like, personal experience because I don't have a lot of time to enjoy my hobbies, I feel. So that when I want to go out and enjoy my hobbies, I want to know that I am doing something that's not wasting my time. So I'd rather not try something new and play something I'm comfortable with. So I guess maybe that's why I'm less forgiving towards indie games, if that's the word.
I can understand that.
Yeah, that's kind of like my little tangent on why I'm a more AAA game girly. Not saying, though, I've never enjoyed indie game. I always vouch by this, but I love fast. Not saying that I've never played indie games, but I have, and
I was game hater.
Not indie game hater. I live by this fact. I love Phasmophobia, and that's an indie game. Correct me if I'm wrong, right?
Yes.
I love it, and, like, that's because I'm biased as well, because I just like scary games. I like torturing myself. I don't know if we want to keep that on air.
Yeah, let's re-record that.
But I love horror games. It's by far my favorite genre, and Phasmophobia really immerses you in that experience. So what I do enjoy about indie games is that they tend to have more creative liberty with what they want to make.
Yes, yes.
Right? Instead of the AAA games. And so that's kind of where that line starts to get blurry for me, with where I kind of lean into.
I don't hate AAA games, but I just think that indie games have a lot stacked against them. And when you see a game that beats the odds, it's incredible.
Oh, for sure.
And I think like, indie games always... I'm a very sensitive person, and I cry a lot at movies and video games. No, don't. This is embarrassing. And I cry a lot at movies, and my dad always says that if I don't cry at a movie, it isn't good.
Yep, I've heard that before.
Yeah, and that's fair, right? I don't think you have to cry at every single game. Like, some games aren't made. I mean, if you lose really bad in Valorant, you might feel compelled to cry. Ooh. But but I think story-wise, not all games are meant to be cried to. And I don't know, it depends on what you want going into a game, but I just don't think that anyone should write off indie games. And not saying that you are, it's just that, I don't know, I think indie games are a different breed.
They're a different breed for sure, but I can really respect it when I, like, the amount of effort that goes into these indie games, because I feel like for most of it, it is very much a passion project. Mm-hmm. They're more than likely not being well compensated for their work. So I can.
Story of our lives as RTA students, by the way. Or, like, just university students in general.
Yeah, and I just have so much respect towards that. Again, it's just me being very personal. I'm very picky.
That's fair. Like, you get to be picky. It's your time and your way to choose games, mm-hmm. right? However, you better play Final Escort when it comes out.
Oh,
a game
I will.
Created by the
I'm
Game
biased.
Makers Union.
I know many people on the team. I would love to support them anyway.
Yeah,
possible.
Like, you're really close with the sound design lead, right?
Perhaps. Yeah. I don't know. It's my least favorite department.
Yeah, that's true. Like, sound design just, you know.
Boo.
Boo, sound design.
Just kidding.
We're just joking. Honestly,
we love them.
I've been thinking about this a lot.
Talented people.
I'm actually, so I know I have a podcast and I know I do a little audio editing, but I'm actually not a sound person. However.
I figured.
Whoa.
I'm kidding.
Whoa. What does that mean? What do you mean you
no,
figured?
No, no. Please continue before I make my statement.
No. What were you going to say?
I wasn't going to say anything.
I want to hear this.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Okay. Clearly I'm not a sound person, but I think that anything bad can be excused in a video game if it has good sound. I think that sound makes or breaks a video game, especially with indie games.
Really?
Because like, if you look at the most popular indie games like Stardew Valley and Undertale, one of the things that stand out about them the most is the soundtrack.
Wait, I was going to say something else.
Oh, yeah? What were you going to say?
I was going to say, for me, graphics is a really big thing. Like, maybe because I'm, like, a very visual person, that's why I find a lot of value in video games. Like, when I look at wanting to play a new game, I look at how good the game looks visually. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's how I can excuse a bad story or bad music, quote-unquote.
I feel like art style is very subjective.
Oh, it is subjective. That's the thing.
But I think that, like, in terms of receiving the story and the emotional impact, if the music isn't good, it just won't be the same.
I feel like that's the thing, though. I feel like all those factors, if you have good graphics, good story, good music, good
if your
mechanics,
game is good.
Oh my god, you right there, you have a huge tank, you can go to war with that. But I don't know, I guess again, you're right, like, visuals are subjective, but I also think depending on who you are, each category is subjective on how you choose your game that you want to play.
Of course, that's true, but I just think that, and this is not, I mean, yeah, it's very personal, but I just think sound really makes or breaks a game. Like, what is one game with bad sound that you've had? And I'm not talking about bad voice acting, because sometimes games with bad voice acting can be really funny, but just sound in general. Like, can you think of any game with no sound or with really, really bad sound?
No, but I'm also going to say I don't pay attention.
Okay, that is fair.
I'm also
actually
the person to play music while I play games.
Mm-hmm. Visuals are also super important, don't get me wrong.
Minecraft music is fire.
Right?
Minecraft.
That's the thing.
That's
though,
the one
like,
game I don't play music
but
to.
But the thing is, when you have a game that's not as visual, like as graphically heavy, like Minecraft, Stardew Valley, Undertale, the sound makes or breaks the tone too. Right?
Yes, and I'd like
just
to
enhances it.
I'd like to add on to that, and I think for me, again, going back a little bit into the visual thing, if you have a beautiful landscape or even a simplistic landscape like Minecraft, I think music sets the tone and sets the environment. Mm. So, yes, I think music is something that really encapsulates, kind of puts the cherry on top for how to truly immerse yourself into that world.
There's this game with really simple mechanics, but I find it so calming. It's called Summer House.
Oh, I think you've talked about it. Show me.
By Friedemann, I think his name is. I try to pronounce that correctly, my bad. It's an indie game, and it's a pretty recent release, if I'm not mistaken. I actually wrote about this in an article about, like, five stress-relieving games, and honestly, whenever I boot up Summer House, like, I just feel the stress melting off because it's such a calming environment. And it's very, like, mechanically, it's very simple. Like, you just get to pick from, like, however many different presets and make your own house, and it's the same environments.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of variety, but because of the music and the visuals, like, visually, it's stunning.
Yeah, because I was going to say. Although
it's simple, like, it's just beautiful to look at. And the environments that the developer created, just, like, they make you feel at peace.
Like, what drawn me to the game when you showed me around was visually.
Right.
Again, like, that's why for me it's, like, visuals is such an important part of the game. Mm. Like, Genshin Impact. Not an indie game, but AAA game, I think, at this point, right?
At this point, yes. Yeah. On release, they weren't an indie game, but they weren't AAA.
Yeah, they're kind of in that middle zone.
Yeah.
Regardless, for me, like, again, I feel like that's a really good example of a game. Regardless of your feelings of the gacha system and whatever, I think it is very visually stunning. I mean,
it blew up for its visuals, right?
Visual stunning. Stunning visuals. Yes. Beautiful, beautiful soundtrack. Mm. And pretty decently good gameplay mechanics. That's a bit of a controversial opinion, but
the thing is, I feel like if your game looks good and sounds good, everything else can be forgiven.
See, I feel like it's kind of like that. I'm thinking of that meme where you have kind of three, like, on and off switches, and if you turn one off, the other one turns off. I don't know if you guys are understanding what I'm saying, but no, you know what I'm talking about, right? That's kind of like where the leeway comes in.
Yeah, but also, there are more than three light switches in game development.
For sure, obviously.
And it's...
Just like the simple examples we're covering.
Like, I can forgive a buggy game if it sounds and looks amazing and it's somewhat playable, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, one good thing about AAA games is that they do have a standard of quality that, like, maybe not, because there are some AAA games that, like, upon release were very, very buggy.
I was thinking of Pokemon. Pokemon, was it Violet? Scarlet and Violet.
Scarlet
and Violet, the new game on the Switch. Not new anymore.
Not newest.
It is the newest right now.
Yeah, I don't think I played those, but I played the one, like, right before them.
Sword and Shield?
Sword and Shield. There were a few, like, I experienced a few bugs that I didn't think I would. Actually, yeah, like, every game is susceptible to bugs. It's just the nature of how video games are. Yeah. Reality can be whatever I want it to be. Sorry. You just said inevitable and, you know, Marvel fangirl. My bad.
But, yeah, sorry, go on.
But bugs are inevitable, but I think that it's less forgivable in a AAA game, and it, like...
Yes!
It kind of makes me, like, turns me off of the game a bit in general.
Oh, no, for sure. Like, Scarlet and Violet, when it first came out, I think it was because it was very rushed. Mm. I think they only had, like, what, a year or two to produce it?
Oh, shoot.
Which is incredibly short for a game of that scale.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was very buggy. The graphics look weird. I don't know. I did not love the game. But you know what's crazy, though? The story was arguably one of the best Pokemon has ever written, because it's about, like, time travel and... What else? The music?
Is that the one set in a school?
Yes.
There's time travel in that?
Time travel, quote unquote, but
Oh my god, wait, I don't want to spoil into that.
You have to look into the lore, because it's genuinely, it's, like, kind of really sad.
Oh, shoot.
So that's what I'm saying, like, I can't say I enjoyed the game, but I can't say I hated it.
Okay.
It was such, like, a... I don't know, it was baffling, because visually...
It was an experience.
Because visually, I didn't love it, and it was also buggy.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Very buggy for a Switch game.
And I'm looking at your Nintendo stickers on your laptop right now.
I know.
And so I know we both love Nintendo. The Switch is an interesting console. I have 300 hours of Overwatch on Switch.
Yeah.
And I've talked about this before, but I just don't think that the consoles are good for first-person shooter games.
Like, Switches in general, or, like, consoles?
Just consoles in general. Like, I'm not...
Valorant on console? That was...
No, that's the thing.
Insane.
Like, these competitive first-person shooters, like Valorant, Overwatch, I can't think of another right now.
Apex?
I haven't played Apex.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that much about it.
Or CSGO.
Yeah,
Counter-Strike. Counter-Strike. COD.
Yeah. You can't play those on a... Like, you can play them on a console, but it's not as anything.
I don't know. I've tried it when I was younger, but it was I went over to like a friend's house to try like Call of Duty on their
Xbox. Consoles have their place, and I think story games can sometimes be better on a console, which is maybe a hot take, but I don't think that games like Valorant and Overwatch are great on console, and it's...
I think it's just the nature of the game.
The nature of the game. Like, there's nothing you can really do about it as a console, because the medium is the medium, you know?
But can I say something real quick, though? This is slightly off topic, but I know some of the FPS games are better when you play on console. Like, instead of the keyboard, they still...
What?
Well, my friend here, Apex is better on console, apparently. COD is better on console. I think it has something to do with aim assist. I could be wrong on that, but that's what I've
been told. Maybe it's a personal thing.
Depend on your game, though.
On your game. I feel like Overwatch and Valorant should not be played on console.
Oh, Valorant, I don't think so. I just don't... But also, it's so new, so I think they're still working on...
Valorant isn't new. It's like...
No, Valorant on console is new, though.
They're actually doing that?
Well, they already did it.
It's on...
It's out. It's been out for a few months, I believe.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But I've heard very mixed reviews.
I should try that.
I think you should look into it, because people are saying it's very weird.
I will say the one thing that's a little frustrating is that... online paywall for consoles. Like, to go online, you have to pay more.
I feel like that's... Do you think that's, like, a AAA thing or, like, an indie thing?
I mean, there aren't really any indie consoles. And I guess it's the people who make... I guess it's the people who make the consoles who make that decision to have a subscription. And I get it, but it's very frustrating.
Yeah, I've never paid for Nintendo Online.
That's the thing. Like, it feels bad to continuously pay for something you've already paid for.
And like, it's when hundreds of dollars for a console now.
Yeah, like, you bought the console, you bought the game, and you can't play it online without a subscription. It feels bad. And that is one disadvantage of, like, mega companies, right?
Well, yeah, I guess, like, to an extent, everyone is power hungry, but these... When you work at a...
Maybe say, like, everyone needs to make money.
Well, yeah. Okay, sorry. Well, I would like to say, like, at the end of the day, everyone needs to make their money. Oh, for everyone sure. needs to pay their bills. Yeah. Like, you do what you think will work.
Yeah.
And you know what? Maybe it's subjective to everyone.
Subjective. And I think definitely profit plays a big part.
Not saying I'm against it, that's
yeah,
all.
Yeah, no, like, I understand the need to make money and actually pay the people that work for you. Unpaid internships are not fun, guys. That's all I'll say. But
I wouldn't even call it an internship at that point. It's just labor.
Well, actually, technically, I haven't done an unpaid internship, but we have a lot of unpaid opportunities at Toronto Metropolitan. When they really should be. And that's just a problem throughout universities. Like, that's not... our school or any like studio in general. But yeah, like, unfortunately, I think just in the scheme of things, we expect more from AAA and it hurts more when we're let down.
Oh, for sure. And
in indie games, we expect less. So when it's good, we're blown away, right?
Yes. I think when you have, you know, big corporations means big expectations.
And expectations can really make or break a game, ultimately. So I think that helps and hurts both indie and AAA games.
Yeah, depending on which spectrum you're on. Yeah, what side. Right?
Like, if you're a corporate girly or if you're, you know, an indie developer. Can I call myself an indie developer at this point?
I think you can.
I'm an indie developer.
Call yourself whatever you want.
Exactly, right? So, as a professional game developer... Mm-hmm. I think both AAA and indie have merit, obviously, but it's so specific that I can't really say for sure that one of them sucks worse than the other, you know?
I think it's hard to say.
Every game has their problems.
Every game, everything in life has their pros and cons, and I think it's just where do you choose to weigh them more, if that makes sense. And I feel like I kind of still stand by my opinion. I love indie games, don't get me wrong. It's just when it comes to what I would choose to play had I had to pick. I would.
You have to pick right now.
AAA.
Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't expecting that.
Oops.
That's the thing I think is so interesting about us making a podcast called Gaming Sucks while also wanting to work in the industry.
Well, I think we love video games, but we also see what should be evolved.
The whole philosophy behind the show is that when people are like, oh yeah, my favorite game sucks, I have 10,000 hours, but it sucks, don't play it. It's a very hate-love relationship that attitude that gamers have. And I think we're supposed to be a little pessimistic, but we didn't maybe get the mark there. But it's been an amazing season and a very fun episode.
Yes, we love everyone. We love you guys. Everyone. Thanks for listening.
Actually, no, everyone sucks. That's how we should end this. Yeah. Gaming sucks.
You all suck.
We all suck. And we also hope to see you in season 2.
Bye-bye. We've been your sort of pessimistic hosts.
And this has been Gaming Sucks.
Thanks for playing.